Shalom, Church. Thank you for the opportunity, Pastor Dylan. Yes, I've been asked to share just a little bit about my trip. So I will, just to give you a short overview, because of only a few minutes, something that could be shared a few hours easy. So as a few of you knows, you've been praying for my trip. So it was in mid-December to January for 4 weeks. I went to India. It's my third trip. First one was about 6.5, 7 years. It's the lure of prayer behind a burden. So I have a burden for Aboriginal people, for Jewish people, prison ministry, and street evangelism, so the burden for Indian people as well. I've been with the other brother before, who's the Indian. I will keep names out and name of the ministry as well for sensitivity. Just want to quickly say that just before my trip, the brother who's local, he called me, he said, "Are you sure you want to go? Because, you know, like what you've been 3.5 years ago, it's much, the government screwed the tide, so it's much harder. It's not welcome, you know, anyway. But I was prepared. God gave me peace, so I went. So it was many challenges, but praise God. Thank you for your prayer. Everything was smooth. Just to mention at least four times the domestic air flight, they changed their flights during the flight, during my trip. So praise God, everything went well still in the schedule. So mostly I went to the south. I went to Tamil Nadu in Chennai and Coimbatore. The Chennai, there's a beautiful ministry for the children. I get in touch with a friend of that leader ministry here in Sydney. We share on the streets together. So by God's providence, you know, it's a third time I visited them. There was a Christmas message. It was just a beautiful to see the children, see the zeal, children from the streets. Just many things I can say, but the poor kids, they hear the gospel. So we are privileged to some of the things that we visited to, we support those ministries as a family. So there was south. Then I went to Bihar. It's North India. It's the first time for me this year. It was a few different places in Patna, in Gaya, Narlanda, other places. That's where probably was the hardest because of some pressure. And just say quickly, it's basically I need to go to temple. To make a photo, so if something happens, so I can prove that I'm a tourist. Okay, so I have my photos on, you know, on these places. That's how uneasy it is. Then went to Kerala. So that's in Vayanad. That's another south place. There's a ministry which we support, a wonderful ministry in the midst of the jungle. It's a revival ministry. There's no time. One day maybe I'll share. So it was a great opportunity to share with the remote, different churches, small villages. It's wonderful to see people are on the fire for the Lord. Small villages in the midst of Hindus' dominations, and nighttime, you're standing there, the children holding the Bible, like 9, 10 o'clock at night, and the service is 5 hours sometimes, 4 or 5 hours. Children nighttime, they actually read it. So I was almost crying. Extreme poverty I've seen in Bihar, in city. I've seen that, you know, slums, you know, people live in sewages, and just, and the government, Indian government, not allowed even Christians. There's a sub ministry which part of that ministry, they go and trying to witness there, try to give gospel, try to give food. No, you're not allowed. So they get the engine there, standing there from government, not allowed these poorest people, like the Dalits. So it's just a horrible, heartbreaking. So it's some of the prayer there. So just I want to thank you for that opportunity, for all your prayers. And there was So continue for those brothers and sisters in Christ who there, particularly in their Bihar ministry, I can't share much, but they've got 13 centers. We're not allowed, you know, as a fact, you are not allowed as European or even Indian, really, public ministry on the streets, street evangelists. So I was limited to the churches, witness share to young adults, to the some leaders, some children, Christmas messages, etc. Different. But as far as the public ministry, it's basically taboo. Even to transfer money, you got to do it special way for the ministry. Praise God. Praise God for that. Maybe some other time I'll share more. But I just wanted to just encourage just a few minutes from what it means for us. Just some exaltation. Thank you for letting me share. Just sort of clear from the start, this is not about me. I'll be reading just to save time. I'm not here to impress anyone or to present a mission hero story. I'm just a brother. And because some details can endanger believers, I keep names and specifics careful. But I do want to say this. India is not a main point. Jesus is. And what I saw there stirs something in me that I think we all need. Okay, my burden is simple. I'm worried that the Great Commission and real discipleship can slowly get pushed to the edges of the church life, almost like a nice extra or something for a few keen people. But when you read the New Testament, you don't get the feeling that mission is a hobby. You get the feeling it's the obedience, not the pressured obedience. It's a loving obedience. And honestly, seeing believers who have so little, yet love Christ so deeply, makes me ask, are we awake to Jesus here? Are we treating his words like real commandments or like an optional inspiration? So I just want to look quickly at something very famous, Luke 9:23. This is the command which most of us should know. It's not an option. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. So, you know, it's not an option to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily. And that verse doesn't describe advanced Christianity, that describes Christianity. The cross isn't an accessory, it is a pass, it's a daily pass. So I'm not saying everyone must go overseas, right? But I'm saying everyone who belongs to Christ must be willing to die to self, willing to obey when it costs comfort, willing to be misunderstood, willing to be misconvenienced. Because following Jesus is not a weekend activity, it is a life. Okay? How do you activity live like that without become proud or burn out? Well, Galatians 2:20, you know, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And a life, now I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is like an engine to encourage us. You know, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That means disciples is not just a try harder. It is surrender. It is union with Christ. I want to say this very fairly. Sanctification is not a simplistic. It is a real synergy. I must choose to deny myself. I must choose to obedience. I must go put to death my sin. I also must continually rely on God, asking the Holy Spirit for help, strength, and power to actually do what Jesus commands. So it's not me alone. It's not God instead of me. It's obedience with dependence. Daily repentance. Daily asking for help. Daily, Lord, I can't do this without you. Help me. Walk as your disciples. And even like Romans 12, just very shortly, because the time is running out. Romans 12:12, 1-2, my daily prayer. It says that takes the inner reality, it turns into the lifestyle. It's a presenting your body as a living sacrifice daily. And don't be comforted to this world, okay? Be transformed by renewing of your mind. That's what we all need to do. It means we stop asking, what is the minimum I can do, still call myself a Christian? And we start asking, Lord, what does obedience look like today? And it also means we must resist the worldly mold, comfort, safety, image, self-focus, because the world trains us to protect ourselves. Jesus trains us to give up ourselves. And when we do, something beautiful will happen. We become useful, we become clear, we become steady, we become free. To Christ Jesus be all the glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all.
Shall we pray for Jenny and thank God for what is happening in and through him? Thank you, loving Heavenly Father, for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity for us to hear the heart that you have given Jenny. And Lord, this is the heart that you want all of us to have, to be witnesses of Jesus wherever we are. Lord, when we follow Jesus, Lord, being witnesses of Jesus is not a, as Jenny said, not a weekend thing. It is a daily thing. So, Father, encourage us, empower us. And Father, we pray for the ministry that happened in India. Lord, for those who are serving in the front lines, we give them to you, and we ask, Lord, may you encourage them, sustain them, protect them. And Father, we also pray for, Lord, those who are suffering because of the gospel. We ask, Lord, may your presence be very encouraging to them. And pray for Jenia as he has a heart to share the gospel with people here in Sydney. Father, protect him, give him wisdom, and Father, use him for your purposes. And we ask this, Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, God.
Just want to bring you a brief reflection on the verses that we read at the beginning of the service from Isaiah. Do you have that clicker with you? The reading that we have from Isaiah chapter 6, 1 to 8, it kind of fits into what we've been talking about, isn't it? Serving God, being witnesses of God, and being willing to be vessels in God's hands. This is Isaiah's calling to serve God's people. And in this we hear the path to serving God. It starts with a bigger vision, isn't it? A bigger vision. A bigger vision of ourselves, but a bigger vision of who God is first. Isaiah, the first thing that happens to him is he sees how big God is. His majesty, he's holy, he's righteous, his absolute purity and majestic. And he, even his voice is so powerful, we are told. And there's no one like him. All power, all knowledge, supreme, sovereign God he is. And this is, I think, the very first thing to be able to serve God, to know, like, hey, he's a big God, a majestic God. But as we encounter the majesty of God, we also see how a bigger view of ourselves, isn't it? Not that we are so big, not that we are all big and able to do everything, no. Isaiah says, how unworthy, unholy he is, right? He says, woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. See, we can't serve a holy God as we are. We need God to purify us, unless we're going to be consumed by his holiness, right? So what does God do? He cleanses Isaiah with a seraph who touches his lips with a burning coal. And says, you have been cleaned. You have been made worthy. You have been atoned for. Your sin has been taken away. He doesn't wait till Isaiah kind of cleans his act, Isaiah gets better, or he's done something to make himself worthy. No, God takes the initiative. And that's what God has done to us, isn't it? Those who have believed in Jesus. He has taken the initiative in Jesus. He has cleansed us, he has made us worthy because of Jesus, and he has given us a relationship with this God, God of the whole universe, the God who calls us to serve him. And the next thing that we hear is, after being cleansed, Isaiah hears the call of God, where God is asking, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And today, we may not hear God's audible voice saying, hey, Robin, go to Wycliffe or Jenny, go to India. But God might speak to us when we hear the needs around the world, needs of the gospel. Through the missionaries that come and share about the incredible work that is happening and some of the needs that are there. We may hear God's audible voice, perhaps through a sermon. It may be that we hear God calling us to serve and we hear that there are gaps in the church, areas to serve. Or God is prompting in some other way. But when we hear God's call to serve, what should be our response? Now, Isaiah didn't say, all right, God is calling me to serve. Let me get my act together. Let me kind of equip myself first. Or he didn't say, I will pray, Lord, that you will send somebody else. Instead, he says, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. What do you hear? What do you hear when Isaiah says this? You hear willingness, isn't it? You hear readiness, you hear commitment, you hear obedience. So if you want to serve God, if you are serving God and His people, we must have an encounter with this majestic God. And we must have a relationship with Him. And to do that, we must acknowledge our personal unworthiness and trust in Jesus and have a relationship with God. And we must have a response of willingness, isn't it? And each step is essential if you are serving or if you want to serve God and His people. And if you're serving in any capacity, let me encourage you here in this church or anywhere else, seek God's presence. Make time for prayer, scripture reading, cultivate a deeper awareness of God's holiness. Don't just serve for the sake of serving. Remember, understand who has called you, who you are serving. And also acknowledge your imperfections. That we need God. We need God's grace to empower us to serve and then respond willingly. Respond willingly. Be ready to kind of say, yes, God, use me wherever I am. It could be my workplace. It could be my neighborhood. It could be here in the church. Wherever that is, be willing to serve. Isaiah's calling also reminds us that God uses imperfect people, right? He's imperfect, unworthy, unskilled people to fulfill His perfect purposes. So I think embracing or wanting to serve God requires a humble heart, seeking His holiness, and willingness to serve God, be obeying to what God has called us to do. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity for us to hear what's happening around the world. And Father, you may have called some of us to go to different parts of the world, but Father, you have called us to serve you wherever we are. So this morning I pray for all of us that we will have a majestic view of who you are, God of the whole universe. And Father, we pray as we see that we will recognize how unworthy and unholy we are to serve you. But Father, let us be blown away by your generosity in sending your Son Jesus to make us worthy. And Father, help us to hear your voice. Where are you calling us? Where are you? Where have you placed us? And Father, help us to be willing to be witnesses of Jesus wherever we are. And Father, may it not just be words. May it be actions and attitudes. And Lord, the deeds that we do in the name of your Son, Jesus. And we ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.